This is Gulf Coast Life. I'm Mike Canary. Thanks for joining us. Every year, hundreds of thousands of students in dozens of countries act as delegates in a simulation of the United Nations. These model UNs are academic competitions that teach students diplomacy and international relations, but they also help students build empathy for others and better understand the delicate balance negotiating with someone you might disagree with often requires. The 33rd annual Southwest Florida Model UN was held on the campus of Florida Gulf Coast University last week. More than 340 students from Lee, Collier, Sarasota, and Charlotte counties gathered to engage in fast-paced diplomacy, debate, and problem-solving, focused on some of the most pressing current global challenges. It's sponsored by the Naples Council on World Affairs in partnership with FGCU. This year's keynote speaker was Andrea Bedoya. She's a 2020 graduate of Florida Gulf Coast University. And since leaving FGCU with a political science degree, her career has already spanned four continents and a wide range of global service experiences. She's helped conduct marine conservation research in Ghana and taught English in Spain and Cambodia. Her current job is U.S. Deputy Track Director at Build On. It's an international nonprofit. In her role, she coordinates service learning programs that partner U.S. students with under-resourced communities in Nicaragua, Guatemala, and Senegal. I spoke with her last Thursday while she was back on campus. Let's hear that now. Andrea Bedoya is the keynote speaker at the 2026 Southwest Florida Model United Nations that's concluding today on the campus of FGCU. Thanks for being here, Andrea.
Thanks for having me.
So your bio says you're a Florida native. Where were you born?
This was a discussion I was having with my parents earlier this week. I was born in Oklahoma, but I moved to Florida. I moved near Gainesville when I was three. So there was some debate on if I was a real Florida native.
I was born in Missouri and moved to Florida when I was eight, and I will not dare call myself a Florida native.
Yeah, that was what they told me as well. And I was like, I don't really identify as an Okie, but I have no memories of Oklahoma. So
how'd you find FGCU?
I found it when I was in high school looking for colleges to attend, really. I kind of heard about it, but I wasn't too familiar with it.
What was it like going to high school in Gainesville? College town.
Yeah, it was a college town. It was cool. Like, for example, I played sports, so all our team bondings were going to college softball and soccer games, which was really great. And a lot of my friends ended up there in that college, but I kind of wanted to try another place to live. I didn't even apply to that school. And I ended up here at FGCU, and it was really great. And I loved living by the water as well and just constantly being outside.
What were your first impressions of FGCU when you first came down here? Because Gainesville's kind of just far enough north where it's kind of like a different ecosystem and, environment.
Yeah. I just remember on the campus tour, my parents were like, remember, this isn't a resort. This is a college campus. You're here to study. But it was really great. And yeah, I just remembered really, I just thought the campus was so beautiful. And I had no idea what I wanted to study, so I wasn't too focused on the programs. I liked the location. And I liked being in the outdoors and near the water. So that was really all that was going through my head at the time.
So you wound up getting your degree in political science, but you just said you didn't know what you were going to study. So was Model UN, what was your foray into political science, or how did that kind of turn come about?
Yeah, so I came in as a freshman undecided. So I was taking a few gen ed classes to see what I was interested in, and I landed on political science and ended up joining the Model UN team sophomore year of college because I thought the idea of political science was cool, but I wanted to put it a bit more into action to see if I actually enjoyed it. And I, of course, ended up sticking with it because I really, really enjoyed it. I felt like everything we were learning in class was very theoretical, and Model UN is where I got to put it to use. So I got to apply what I was learning in classes, but then I also got to develop, what we call soft skills. So my public speaking and diplomacy and debate skills as well. And then, of course, there's the social aspect as well. All my closest friends from college I met through Model UN.
Were you at all familiar with it when you were in high school? Because I've interviewed some people who were the keynote speaker people, and they generally do start sooner than college.
Yeah, I was not involved. We didn't even have a
Oh, really?
club or team at our high school. So I didn't do anything related to Model UN or a debate team or a mock trial. This was totally new to me. So I really came in blind. I had heard of it, but I had never been involved with it and really didn't understand exactly what it entailed, which was pretty exciting.
So once you got locked into political science and you were doing Model UN, did you start to develop a plan for what you were going to do post-graduation? And did it in any way align with what you have done?
So I think sophomore year was a big year for when I started developing kind of a plan, because it was when I joined Model UN. And it was also when I did a research abroad out in West Africa. I did sea turtle conservation through FGCU.
Ghana.
Yeah, exactly. So both those experiences gave me a lot of direction. I knew after Ghana, I wanted to do something in the international development sector. But through Model UN, I kind of didn't know exactly what that meant or what that would look like. So I continued on. I actually minored in anthropology. And I knew after college, I wanted to do something abroad, maybe live abroad for a year or two. And I was really aiming for the Peace Corps. But I graduated in 2020 during the pandemic when we were on lockdown. So the Peace Corps was put on hold. And that's when I ended up moving to Seville, Spain, through the Spanish Ministries of Education teaching program.
I'll get to that in a second, but I want to dwell a little longer on Ghana. Like, had you ever been in any kind of an environment or experience like that, you know, going, you know, abroad, going to a place like Ghana, dealing with sea turtle research?
So I had been abroad a lot growing up. My mom is from Colombia and my dad's from Peru.
Okay.
So I grew up going to South America every summer. And then in eighth grade, I went to school in Colombia.
Okay.
And we did a field trip. It was more biology based, but we climbed one of the glaciers and saw rural communities. So I had briefly been in rural communities in developing countries and seen it, but I hadn't really interacted with them. Both my families are from the capital. So I was really never in rural areas. So Ghana was really my first introduction to, like, a, for lack of a better term, like a properly rural area in a developing country. And it was also my first time doing research there as well and not just visiting family or on vacation.
What kind of research were you doing? The bio that I read said it was community-based. I'm not sure what that means in this context.
Yeah. So we were going to different fishing villages and interviewing fishermen on the local legends that involved sea turtles. And a lot of these legends would say that if a fisherman, like, for example, they got lost at sea or their boat flipped, a sea turtle will help them come back to shore safely. And what we found was the communities that did have a strong emphasis on carrying on those oral traditions really put an emphasis on sea turtle conservation. So we were trying to find a way then to implement oral tradition into, like, official school curriculum for the sake of conservation.
That is fascinating. I have talked to a lot of people about a lot of things, and that has a combination of things that I find fascinating.
Yeah, so it was really neat because it was biology and conservation based, but being a political science major, I thought it was still relevant with the social sciences.
Huh. So Spain, you spent 2 years in Spain?
Yes, two academic years.
And you were teaching English?
Correct.
How did you said that was during the pandemic. I mean, how did that all come about? How did you even find that?
Well, I had applied to a few different programs to a few different countries, and of course they were all canceled because of the pandemic. And truthfully, this was just the only program that was not canceled. I had heard of it anyway, and I spoke the language, so I felt like that was, you know, made moving abroad during a pandemic much less intimidating in case something were to happen. So I applied and I was assigned Seville, Spain specifically, and that's how I ended up there.
Hmm. And, like, you also started, like, a club, or you were part of a club that was not just, like, explain a little more detail what you were doing there. I mean, teaching English is like a top level. Dig a little bit deeper into it.
The club was in the Peace Corps.
Oh.
In Spain, I was teaching. My first year I was at a primary school, and the second year I was at.
You've got so many international things, I've got them confused. Continue.
Yeah, the first year I was at a primary school. The second year I was at a secondary school. So I was working with high schoolers that year. And I also started doing a few private lessons as well for English on the side.
And then Peace Corps finally came available.
Exactly.
And you went to Cambodia.
Yes.
What was that like?
I mean, it could not have been more different than Spain,
right? It seems like it would be a lot more, well, yeah.
Arguably the opposite. Everything was upside down in a really cool way.
What do you mean by that?
I think the biggest difference was in Spain, the students I worked with, especially the high schoolers, just had huge personalities and were really interactive with me and really big on wanting to show me like flamenco, the traditional dance. And we were just always very interactive. And the biggest struggle was making sure I never lost control of the class because there was so much going on. And then I moved to Cambodia, where culturally people are just really shy and really reserved. So I spent my first few weeks there really making sure everyone was comfortable around me and making sure I didn't come off as some big, scary foreigner rather than just a new member of the community for a bit.
Hmm. What about the food differences?
So Cambodia has, I mean, we eat a lot of, they eat a lot of rice. I was eating rice about three times a day. So it was rice and a protein. So like fish or pork. But the really good food was the desserts because it's such a tropical climate. There, everything was just coconut and mango based. And my host family sold coconuts. So every morning I'd have fresh coconut, which I still miss.
How long were you there?
I was there for a year and a half.
I was going to ask you what your family and friends thought of your adventures, but now you've established that your family is from South America. So, but still, what did your family and friends think of your international adventures?
They were excited for me. I think there's a bit of questioning about why I was hopping around so much and, you know, how I was going to use this in the future and if I was just kind of killing time or actually, you know,
being were you running toward or away?
Exactly. So my mom and my sister actually got to visit me in Cambodia and they got to meet my host family. And that was definitely one of my favorite parts. I felt like having both my families meet each other was really special. And yeah, overall, they were just really excited for me. Luckily, I have really a supportive circle around me. And I think there was just a lot of curiosity, especially when I came home.
If you hadn't got involved with Model UN, do you think any of these things we've been talking about would have presented themselves to you?
I think so. I think I would have approached them differently. And I don't think I would have known exactly what to do with all the knowledge I came home with if it hadn't been for Model UN. So I don't think it would have, I would have had the experiences, but I don't think they would have been as impactful.
May have been more the running away than the running toward.
Exactly.
So now tell us about Build On, which is the organization you work for now, which seems like all of this has teed up that.
Yeah. So funny enough, I actually found the organization Build On through the Peace Corps network. My supervisor is also a former Peace Corps volunteer. So I work with students and prepare them to go on an international service trip in the summer. So I do a lot of the cultural training, and then I actually travel with them while they're abroad. So the skills I've picked up along the way while being a foreigner myself have proven to be very useful in this position.
Explain the kind of work that these trips accomplish.
For sure, yeah. So these students, before they go abroad, are involved with local community service, and then they have to apply and go through an interview process to be chosen for what we call TREK, which is the international service trip. And when we go abroad, we're in a rural community for 2 weeks. And the service learning project we're doing is we're actually building a school with the community. So in the meantime, these students live with host families. They're eating the local foods. We have translators with us, but they're definitely getting pretty familiar with the local language. And it's just a really, really great cultural immersion program. And then when they come back to the U.S., then we talk about applying it to their lives back home here.
And where are the places that you've been through Build On?
I've been to Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Senegal. And then we also build in Malawi and Nepal.
And you live in New York now?
I do, yes.
Is this the first time you've been back to FGCU for a while?
It is. I haven't been back since graduating.
And so a lot's changed, right?
Yeah, a lot has changed, which has been really cool to see, actually.
My guest today is Andrea Bedoya. She's a 2020 graduate of Florida Gulf Coast University who now serves as Deputy Track Director at Build On. It's an international nonprofit that mobilizes students in under-resourced urban areas to uplift their communities and works to empower villages in some of the world's economically poorest countries to take the lead in bringing education to their communities. Andrea was on the FGCU campus last week to give the keynote address at the 2026 Southwest Florida Model UN, so stopped by the studio for a chat. The Model UN is an annual event that's sponsored by the Naples Council on World Affairs in partnership with FGCU. Similar Model UN events happen in countries around the world every year. If you'd like to engage with the show about this conversation or any of our episodes, please do so using social media. We're WGCU Public Media on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find this and all of our past episodes of the show and everything we do on radio, TV, and online using the WGCU mobile app that's free and available on Apple and Android. Can you just talk some about the more you travel abroad, the more you see our culture through a different lens? Does that make sense?
Yes, for sure.
Can you just talk some about that? Because I, especially Richard, who's in the booth, you know, big advocate of getting out of the world so you can see what this world is like.
Yeah, it's so funny. Even now living in a bigger city, coming back to Fort Myers, I see it through a different lens. I'm like, it's such a small town. Because before this was, you know, kind of all I knew. It was no bigger than my hometown. So I think I'm more, after traveling abroad, and especially the places I've lived are so, there's such a community-based lifestyle. I think when I'm back home now, I put a lot more emphasis and intention on building the community and, like I said, a circle of friends and keeping my family around me, because I've seen how important that is when I've lived in these other places.
We were chatting a little bit before we started recording about, you know, the hyper-social media-izedness of our culture here in America and maybe globally. But, you know, are we all living in little bubbles to a much greater degree here in the United States than in other countries from your experience?
I think the little bit that I saw is we're all kind of in our own separate bubbles. Like in some of the other countries we lived, like for example, Cambodia, they were also very active on social media, just on a different platform. And, you know, kind of what the feed gives them is all they know, and that's their own bubble, kind of like we are over here.
Hmm. What are you going to be talking about when you give the keynote? Have you ever given a keynote before?
No, this is my first keynote, so I'm really excited.
What are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be sharing some of my host families that I've lived with throughout my time in Treks and the Peace Corps. And I'm hoping to really personalize the humanitarian aid sector as a career and emphasize to these young students how impactful this can be for individuals, and that none of this is just theoretical or like statistical and just debates we do in a structured committee. It really impacts people's lives.
I don't want to put you on the spot because this may not be, you know, above your pay grade, as they say, but, you know, the United States in recent years has pulled back from international engagements and aid. Have you been able to see how that's affected the rest of the world with your own eyes?
A bit, yes. So with my current organization, because we're funded by private donors, we're thankfully able to continue our projects. But we've definitely heard from being in some of the countries I've been in since this has all happened, a lot of the aid that has been taken away. And I think it seems to have created a lot of anxieties in some of these communities and uncertainties. And there's not really a clear understanding of what's happening and why.
Model UN, what kind of student would benefit the most from it, from your experience? Or is it for any student who's going to learn those soft skills, as you said?
I think when a lot of people think of Model UN and they think of debate, they immediately think of extroverted students, and that's who would benefit from it. But I also think introverted students really shine in this environment as well. A big part of it is, you know, writing and passing resolutions at the end of committee. So there are some students who are introverts and really strong writers, and that's kind of their preferred method of communication. And I think they could shine as well. And they do shine, and we've seen it in committee. So I really think any type of student would benefit from this. You know, I have, when I was in college, a lot of people on our team were chemistry majors or computer science majors, not everyone was geared towards international affairs, and it was all very relevant to them regardless.
You live in New York now. Have you ever been to the real United Nations?
I have, actually, when I was a student here at FGCU.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we competed at a conference up in New York, and we were able to go inside the actual General Assembly of the UN building and have our closing ceremony there.
The bottom of your bio says you play rugby.
Yeah.
We've only got a minute or two left, so let's talk about rugby. You play for the Village Lions.
So when I feel like everyone has friends in New York. I had one friend. I only knew one person when I moved to the city. And actually someone from my job told me they played and they needed new players. So I joined because I needed friends. And I actually really love it. I've built a really great community through that team and it's brought me so much joy.
And in college or in high school, you said you played what, softball?
And I played a bit of soccer. I actually played rugby, I believe.
They did have rugby.
Not in high school. I actually played, I think it was only for a semester here in college. But I never really stuck with it like I have in New York now.
How does that work? What position do you play? I don't know anything about rugby.
So sometimes I'm flank. So there's like the forwards and the backs. And the backs are more like runners. And the forwards are more like tackle and impact based. So a flank is a forward. So I just try my best. I have so much fun though. It's a great sport.
Last question. Do you have any FGCU professors or teachers who you'd like to give a shout out to who were inspirational figures for you?
Yeah. I would say Dr. Coughlin. I took quite a few classes with him actually when I was studying political science, and he just had so much excitement in his classes, even talking about things like theories of international relations. It was always really exciting to see him relate everything to real-world events happening.
That's Dr. Rick Coughlin.
Yes.
Who we have on this show to talk about Mexico.
Yeah, he told me all about it.
Well, thanks to my guest, Andrea Bedoya is the keynote speaker at the 2026 Southwest Florida Model UN, and she's deputy track director at the international nonprofit Build On. Thank you so much for coming by to chat while you were on campus again, Andrea.
Thanks for having me.
If you missed any of the show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, wgcu.org/GCL, or wherever you find podcasts. And we invite you to download the new and improved WGCU app for your phone or tablet. You can find past episodes of this show and all of the things we're doing here at WGCU. You can even set it up to get news alerts during the day if you are so inclined. Our show today was produced by yours truly with Richard Chin Kui at the board. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Kinnairy. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM. We are NPR for Southwest Florida.